Jesus. Amen. We rejoice in our sufferings in the hope of the glory of God. So St. Paul. The Olympic spirit, still with us? Go for the gold, go for the glory. Or how many just fall short, or fall just short, or just fall? And while the Olympic torch was ablaze with the fire and warmth of the human spirit, international cooperation and competition, the people of God were ablaze as well with the light of Epiphany at that time, also an international event of even greater significance, uniting those of every nation, tribe, and tongue around the person and work of Jesus the Christ. The wise men brought gifts of gold, but this is really about the glory. Glory to God in the highest. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Isaiah put it this way in the text that began our Epiphany celebration: Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of Yahweh has risen upon you. And then the nations, all nations, ablaze with the light of God's glory. God's people, a light to the nations. So where's the glory? Where's the international recognition and honor in all that we do as the people of God? Or what of the millions and billions of people for whom there seems to be little glory? No hope of making Olympic size glory, or much of anything for that matter. The suffering, the sighing, the dying. Where is the glory in our everyday lives amidst the sorrows of a sin-sick world? St. Paul knew something about suffering, about taking up our cross, as Jesus talked about yesterday in our gospel, which, remember, is suffering for the sake of the cross, not just the burdens of life, but burdens for the cross. And perhaps that's why Paul understands why he can say that we might even rejoice in our sufferings. Pretty strange. Come on, Paul. Rejoice in our sufferings? Oh, to be sure, suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. This sounds like Olympic training, discipline, and regiment, the cost of going for the gold. But this is about the glory, remember. A much greater glory. But here's the problem, as Paul reminds us. We have fallen short of the glory of God. Been found lacking. Found wanting. Fallen. We know the problem. It's our sin that separates us from the glory of God, but it was God's plan. It was his design for the life of faith that the people of God would be gathered around the presence of God, would be defined by the glory of God, would know the glory of God, but there wasn't much to work with. They were slaves in Egypt when God redeemed them. What was he thinking? Who wants these people? Slaves, rejects, there's no glory in associating with them. Yet while they were yet slaves, while we were yet sinners, God claimed them as his own. That was his plan. That was his design. The ransomed and redeemed would gather around the presence of God, the glory of God, the tabernacle there where God was present in the midst of his people. And the unrighteous would be in the presence of God, made righteous by the blood of the sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. Oh, they still fell short, or just fell. No one can see God and live. Even Moses fell down before the glory of God. But then comes Moses again. and Elijah, Moses and the prophets, to see the glory of God. There on the mountain of transfiguration, Epiphany comes to glorious conclusion, the glory of God in Christ Jesus, the fulfillment and focus of Torah and prophets. But we're not there yet. We haven't really seen the glory. Peter, James, and John, don't tell anyone. You may have seen glory, but it's not the whole story. Epiphany, Transfiguration, Lent. So what was God thinking? This isn't glory, this is suffering and shame and sorrow and sadness. Where is the glory in losing one's life? Well, I suppose one could die for a righteous man, at least for a righteous cause. Isn't that what our military is all about? But even if for a righteous, why for a most unrighteous? Those who are yet sinners. It's not his fault, you know. I suppose it wasn't really his problem. They made their bed, let them lie in it. Isn't that what we would say? What was God thinking? There's no glory in associating with these sinners, but this was the plan, this was the promise, this was the design, the presence of God, the glory of God in the midst of his people, sinners made righteous by the blood of the sacrifice. The glory of Epiphany is now made clear in Lent. It is the glory of Christ's suffering and atoning death. Yes, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus, we are declared righteous before him. A sacrifice of atonement, and the people of God are gathered around the presence of God, the glory of God, mediated through the blood sacrifice once for all in a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You see, dear friends in Christ, a true theology of glory is indeed a theology of the cross. This is not just the glory-seeking discipline, even self-inflicted suffering of an athlete in hard Olympic-level training. This is the full and final suffering for the sins of all the world. Jesus, what were you thinking? Maybe for a righteous man. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For you. Jesus, what were you doing? No greater love than this. And now comes Paul's bonus point in this text. He reminds us that if Jesus loved us so when we were yet sinners, how much more will he stand by us now that he has claimed us as his own in baptism and made us righteous? If he loved us when we were unrighteous, how much more now that we are made righteous by his blood? He bought us with a price. That was his commitment. We belong to him. We are his, and he's not going to leave us now. And so, dear friends of Christ, that's why we can face suffering. Whatever the world throws at us, suffering, it only produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. For we have seen the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus, through whom we have already now, even as we wait for him to come again, already now received reconciliation. This is far greater than Olympic gold. To him be the glory forever and ever.